My first team member studies teamwork for a living. That's psychologist Gabriella Paverini. And Gabriella, I think you want to start with a bit of an audience participation activity.
Yes, that's right. So we're going to be doing some movements together, and that's going to create the sound of rain. And I'm going to go through the movements with you, and Chris is going to describe them for you, okay?
Okay, so the first movement, rubbing your palms together like you want to warm them up. Good, okay. Then we're clicking fingers and thumbs. Okay, now you're tapping two fingers from one hand on two fingers of the other hand. Now you're just having a clap. Now you're clapping your palms against your thighs. Jumping on the spot.
That's right. That's it.
And that's the lot. Okay, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, so we're going to go through all those movements and then go backwards.
So reverse the order. Do them again, but in the reverse order.
Yes, that's right.
Off you go. It's over to you.
So we can start right now.
Very good. I think you can give yourselves a round of applause. Right. Okay. What did that prove?
That's a demonstration of the type of research I do. So my work is focused on behavioral synchrony. Basically, what I study is our ability to entrain our movements with the movements of other people. And that's called entrainment or synchrony.
Why is that important?
So we find that when people engage in those types of activities, could be either music making, drumming, dancing together, etc., they tend to like each other more, and they cooperate more, they feel closer to one another, more similar to one another. So basically, it's a mechanism to facilitate cooperation and social bonding.
Many people would say that's not rocket science. If you give people instructions, you can get them to copy it.
Right. I mean, we synchronize naturally, so people tend to fall in sync with each other from very early on in life. When you listen to music, we tend to move to the sound of music. So that's a very basic human capability.
Are you saying then that sort of hardwired into all of our brains is the ability to fall into step with each other, whether we like it or not?
Yes, that's right. And those types of activities, they're seen everywhere. So regardless of what type of society it is, how big it is, how small it is, how complex it is, they always stop at some point to sing or dance together, which is quite interesting.
Well, Chris is a musician. Is this actually part of the reason why when we go and see a big orchestra play, people can all keep time with each other?
Yes, that's right. So music is very related to that. And music gives the possibility of a big group bonding together because they're all following a common beat.
It was interesting. You were almost conducting everybody like a conductor conducting an orchestra, for example. It did seem very much like that, and I definitely see the transfer. Is there other implications with sport as well? Does this transfer over to sport?
Yes, for sure. So we did some studies with rowers, for example, that we asked them to row in synchrony versus out of synchrony using an indoor machine. And then we see some convergence in terms of motion states when they row in synchrony with one another. And there is also other research showing that if you synchronize, you tend to cooperate better.
Now, that's all sounded good stuff, isn't it? We're kind of getting together, playing sport really well, playing music really well. Are there any examples of where it's a bad thing?
Yes, it's certainly not all good. For example, there was one study that I ran in the lab in which people synchronize with each other with a simple tapping task, such the one we did right now. And then half of the participants did that activity in synchrony. So they listened to the same music and they were tapping some cups together. And then the other half of the participants did the same, but out of synchrony. So they were listening to different songs. And then after that, they were asked to drink some quite nasty drinks. And basically then we asked them about the taste of the drinks, we coded their facial expression, and we looked at how reluctant they were to taste that new beverage. And basically, if they had been in synchrony with the other person, they reported being less reluctant to drink. And for some participants, those who were quite sensitive, those actually expressed less disgust towards the drink when they had been in synchrony with somebody else.
So that might explain why school meals, despite being disgusting, are nonetheless eaten en masse.
Yes, that's true. So you need to get the kids all to synchronize before you send them out to the break.
And then they'll eat anything. Gabriella Paverini, thank you very much.